On today's Plain English, Impressionism turns 150 years old. Hi there, everyone. I'm Jeff, and this is Plain English. Here at Plain English, we help you upgrade your skills in English. We do that with stories about current events and trending topics. When you listen, you'll get exposure to many new words and concepts that you might not otherwise hear about in English. And then, of course, in the second half of every lesson, I show you exactly how to use a common English expression. So today, we're talking about Impressionism. This style of painting debuted with a radical exhibition in Paris in 1874. It was not welcomed by the art establishment, to put it mildly. But this new style of painting would revolutionize art and win the hearts of museum goers for many years. That's the story. In the second half of the lesson, I'll show you how to use fall into when you talk about categories. Fall into a category. You can find the transcripts, the lesson quizzes, exercises, translations, and practice opportunities all on the lesson homepage at plainenglish.com/679. That is thanks to JR, our producer. Before we dive into today's story, you've heard me mention some of the great ways our Plus membership can help you upgrade your English, and you might be curious about what that looks like. We've recently unlocked some free samples so that you can try out the premium features for yourself. Even if you don't join, you'll still learn something from the sample lessons. Sound good? Look for the link that says free samples at the top of plainenglish.com. I've also put a direct link to the samples at the bottom of the show notes of this episode. Now, we're ready to start today's story. In France, in the 19th century, if you wanted to be anyone in the art world, you had to curry favor with one powerful organization, the Academy of Fine Arts. And if you wanted to really be someone in the art world, you had to exhibit your work at the Salon. The Salon was the Academy's official art exhibition, and it was the most prestigious in the world for about 150 years. It was sponsored by the French government. The Academy and the Salon were conservative institutions. They didn't reward risk-taking in art. Most of the work accepted at the Salon fell into a few established categories: depictions of classical mythology, historical recreations, and people in formal settings. The Academy wanted its painters to have excellent technique. They wanted paintings to perfectly resemble real life, with great attention to detail and accurate anatomy. To produce artwork like that, painters had to work in studios under perfect conditions. There wasn't a lot of room to maneuver. But in the late 1800s, a group of 31 painters wanted to do something different. They didn't want to be confined to the same tired themes of mythology and formal dress. They didn't like the dark shadows and muted colors that dominated the Salon. They wanted to use color. They wanted to go outside. They wanted to bring more life to their canvases. They wanted to paint quickly, to capture a fleeting moment. They didn't want to spend weeks or months poring over details of a nose until they got it just right. So in 1874, these painters, they called themselves the Anonymous Society. The Anonymous Society organized a breakaway exhibition in Paris. At the time, they were upstart artists, excluded from high society. You might recognize their names: Claude Monet, Pierre-Auguste Renoir, Edward Degas, Camille Pissarro, and others. These artists experimented with new technology and new techniques. Portable metal tubes of paint had just been introduced. That allowed this new group of artists to bring their studios outside, to set up an easel in the park, in a street, or on a riverbank, and to paint what they saw and felt. They also cast aside some of the old techniques of the conservative painters. Instead of obsessing over the smallest details, they used broad brush strokes to create a fuzzy image. Their purpose was to depict an emotion, not to perfectly represent real life. They painted parks and rivers, busy cafes and boulevards, factories and crowded docks. They eschewed the grays, browns, and blacks, and instead opted for vibrant, unblended colors. One of the best examples of this new style was a painting by Claude Monet. He exhibited it at the Breakaway 1874 exhibition. It depicts a port with ships on the sea and smokestacks in the background. He called it Impression Sunrise. Little did he realize at the time, but the title of that painting, Impression Sunrise, would lend its name to the new genre of painting, Impressionism. What did people at the time think of Impression Sunrise and the other paintings of the same style? The established artists and critics said the paintings were sloppy. They were blurry, almost like they were unfinished. The subjects, ports, cafes, workplaces, these subjects were not worthy of being painted, of being displayed, of being celebrated. And besides, these paintings were blurry. Who wants that? You sometimes couldn't tell exactly what you were looking at. It's almost like the painters didn't bother to finish their work. No, this won't do. History has not been kind to that opinion. Today, Impressionist paintings are some of the most beloved works of art. They adorn the finest museums on every continent. They're studied in art schools. Even the most casual museum goer knows the names of the Impressionists: Monet, Renoir, Degas. And it's not just that. The breakthrough of Impressionism allowed for all kinds of postmodern art to develop. Van Gogh's Starry Night would never have passed muster with the art world had the Impressionists not first broken the Salon's chokehold on respectable art. Museums, galleries, and art societies around the world are celebrating 150 years since that first exhibition. The French region of Normandy is holding 150 events to celebrate 150 years. The Musée d'Orsay in Paris has created a virtual reality experience that mimics the original 1874 exhibition. Only four paintings from the Anonymous Society's first exhibition sold. The company that organized the show went out of business. And now look at what Impressionism has become. Every time I go to a museum, either one I know well, like the Art Institute of Chicago, or the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York, or to a new one, I always try to keep an open mind, but I always find myself drawn to the Impressionists. But here's something funny. Remember the criticisms of Impressionism. It's boring, it's blurry, I can't figure out what this is supposed to be. I find myself saying those same things about a lot of contemporary art. Anyway, 150 years of Impressionism. If there's a museum near you, see if they have an exhibit this year to mark the anniversary. Today, I'm going to show you how to use the phrasal verb fall into when talking about categories. And I'm going to show you two ways to use it. First, I'm going to show you how to talk about a big group of things and all the ways to categorize them. Then, I'm going to show you how to say what category just one thing belongs to. When we use fall into in this way, we always start with a population, a lot of individual things. It could be people, but it doesn't have to be. What we need are lots of individual things that are a little different from one another. Then, we also need a list of categories. So let's think of something. Here's one. Plain English episodes. The main stories. There are going on 700 of them. But how do you know which of the older ones you want to listen to? Well, plain English episodes fall into 14 categories. You can see them at plainenglish.com/lessons. The lessons fall into 14 categories. That means we have our whole population of lessons, now 679 of them. That's the population. We have the categories: business, technology, arts and culture, health, food, travel. There are others. There are 14 of them. So we have our lessons. We have our categories. And every lesson, every single one of them, every lesson belongs to one of the 14 categories. So we say the lessons fall into 14 categories. And you can pick the category that most interests you and listen to the lessons that fall into that category. So here's how you might use fall into in the past tense. At a museum or art gallery, there might be paintings or artworks from multiple genres. That's how it was at the Salon, the famous art exhibition in Paris. But there weren't many different types of paintings then. Most paintings there fell into just a few categories: mythology, historical events, and prominent people. That means most paintings at the exhibition could be put into one of those three categories. Most paintings at the Salon fell into those three categories. Imagine you run the customer service department of a small business that sells widgets, any physical thing. You look at the customer service tickets that come in from the website or the customer support phone line, and you analyze the tickets, the issues, and you determine that some of these tickets are about refund requests. Some of them are people having problems using the product, and some of them are people who want to track their shipment. That's it. There's no other reason why your customers call support. Those three categories: they're asking for a refund, they have a problem with the product, or they want to track their shipment. So you can say that customer support requests fall into three categories. So that's how you use fall into when talking about many things. Now let me show you how to use it when talking about just one thing. Go back to our last example. You are the manager of the customer service department. All the agents are required to put every call into one of the three categories. A customer calls and says, "I really don't like this product. What can you do to help?" Now the agent is confused. What category is this? The customer didn't ask for a refund. He knows how to use it, and he doesn't need to track the shipment. So what category does this fall into? That simply means, what category does this belong to? And you can say, as the manager, that falls into the refund request category. You can tell the agent what category it belongs to by saying, "It falls into," plus the category. "This call falls into the refund request category." He didn't use the word refund, but that's essentially what he's asking for. That's why the call falls into that category. One last tip for you. When we use fall into, we're most often talking about categories that we humans make. So for example, you would not say an orange falls into the fruit category because an orange is a fruit. That's not what humans determined it to be. That's just what it is. But let's say you're working at a grocery store in the back at the receiving dock where all the products come in off the trucks. It's your job to sort all the shipments from the day into categories so other people can put them on the right shelves. And let's say you see a shipment of mixed nuts, but you don't know what section to put them in. You might ask a manager, "What category do mixed nuts fall into?" And the manager might say, "Oh, that falls into snacks. Well, that brings us to the end of this Plain English. I'm so happy that you were able to join us for this one. Remember, the full lesson, all the resources, everything we produce for the lesson is at plainenglish.com/679. And if you haven't seen the website yet, the free membership includes access to a quiz about the topic. So it's a great way to engage with the topic, start thinking in English. It's not graded, no pressure. You take it again if you get some questions wrong, but it's a good thing to do after every lesson. plainenglish.com/679 is where you find all that. And that's all for us today. See you right back here on Monday. You've reached the end of the audio lesson, but there's a lot more to the Plain English experience on the website plainenglish.com. A lot of plainenglish.com is free, but the best tools to help you upgrade your English are part of the Starter and Plus memberships. And if you've ever been curious about what those look like, well, I have good news for you. We've unlocked some free sample lessons that let you try out the Starter and Plus features for yourself. There are two easy ways to find the free samples. First, at plainenglish.com, there's a new link at the top of the page that says Free Samples. I've also put a link in the show notes for this episode. In the sample lessons, you can do the exercises, listen to the fast audio, take one of our toolkit workshops, practice your writing, and more. So try it out today. Click the link in the show notes of this episode or find the link that says Free Samples at the top of plainenglish.com.